Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness, and thank you so much for joining us on the Holderness Family Podcast.
Small housekeeping note, our game, What the Flock, is available at whattheflockgame.com. And if you listened to last week's podcast, you heard us play it, and thank you so much to everybody who called in. Didn't you love that, Penn?
First of all, we scheduled 15 minutes per person for the game, and I was like, oh, that's way too much time. And I wanted to hang out with each of them for a half hour. Just meeting people. And these are our podcast peeps.
Our podcast peeps are the real ones.
Yeah. So that was fantastic.
It did make me want to do like a podcast meetup, some sort of thing where we could hang out with our podcast people. Anyway, 2024 vision. Okay, to the topic of the day. Listen, we are not here to make you Taylor Swift fans. We are not. We're not here to make you NFL fans. We are not. But I really just want to talk to you about the language we're using to talk about Taylor Swift right now.
Yeah, we put out a fun video last week about Taylor Swift and the Super Bowl, sort of centered around the number 13. It did go viral on TikTok and Instagram. For the most part, people loved it. Actually, do you want to listen? Let's take a listen.
Well, the Chiefs are going to Super Bowl 58.
5 + 8 = 13.
What?
13 is Taylor's favorite number. She is doing all of this.
Yeah, well, she has been to a lot of games. Says she's been to 12 so far.
Super Bowl will be number 13.
Yeah, and on the other side, a crazy comeback by the 49ers.
49. 4 + 9 = 13.
Right. Anyway, the Niners are a good team. They're a 1 seed.
What are the Chiefs?
A 3 seed.
1 seed. 3 seed. 13.
Okay, but isn't she going to be in Japan for the Super Bowl on like February 11th?
2-11.
Well, that's the
day. 2 + 11 = 13.
Okay, but she can't possibly get there in time for the game.
A nonstop flight from Tokyo to Vegas.
Oh, I think I know where this is going.
13 hours.
Okay, fine. I guess she could make it, but it's not 100%.
100.
Oh, boy.
100 minus 13 is 87, which is Taylor's boyfriend's jersey number.
You're really stretching it here.
She is a mastermind.
Okay, but not everything is 13 related, right? Like, this game will be Travis Kelce's 22nd playoff game. Oh no, I immediately regret saying
that. I don't know about you,
yep.
I'm feeling 22.
Are you gonna be doing this for the next, I don't know, how long until the Super Bowl?
13 days.
Naturally.
Okay, so there you go. Lot of love for this, but some of the comments, not many of them, but enough of them for us to raise our eyebrow, made us feel like we needed to do a podcast on this.
Yeah, over the past few months, Taylor Swift has received a lot of criticism for supporting her boyfriend, Travis Kelce, in his career. They're saying things like she's doing it for publicity, which is hilarious because she is the biggest global star ever.
Well, certainly more so than Travis Kelce. Yes. I knew who Travis Kelce was, I'm a big fan. You didn't know who he was.
I didn't. But that's because I don't pay attention to football, but that doesn't mean he's not a huge star. He is. He's wonderful. Also, that their relationship is fake.
Stay tuned for a future podcast. I have a theory that their relationship is more authentic than just about any celebrity relationship I've ever seen.
And also, this one we got a lot in the comments and in, I mean, you laugh, Penn, but
sorry,
that she's a secret operative for the government to swing the election. It was bizarre how many people use this language and also some really misogynistic language that I would not like to repeat about her and things they hope happen to her. So it was just out of left field. And to be honest, I'm so sick of it. The reason I'm sick of it is this. No one would say any of these things if it were a male musician, mm-hmm. a popular male musician, supporting their female athlete girlfriend.
So like if Harry Styles was dating Coco.
Exactly.
And okay. he went to the U.S. Open.
Yeah, so right? this is totally yeah. fictional, but a girl
would
can dream.
Would be awesome, by the way.
I love yeah. this vision. But let's say Harry Styles or I'm trying to think of another like male, like a really global, huge celebrity.
Male musician? Name. Justin Timberlake.
Well, he's married.
We're being hypothetical here.
Okay. But let's say Harry Styles and Coco Gauff started dating. Love that couple. Let's say that. I don't know if any of them are currently coupled, but I'm putting that into the universe. If he showed up at the Australian Open, at the U.S. Open.
Just was following her around.
Was following her yeah. in the middle of a tour he was doing. Could you imagine the think pieces written about how Harry Styles is setting the new standard, how their relationship goals? He wouldn't be ruining tennis.
He wouldn't be an operative.
He wouldn't be an operative. Well, he's not a U.S. citizen.
That's true.
I think part of the reason is tennis is not a traditionally it is a space that is known for men and women. And so, whereas the NFL is a space only for men.
Yeah, so that part's really interesting to me. All right. Football is a lot of people's connection to their fathers and to a male relationship and to their friends. Mm-hmm. Like my strongest connection to my college friends is a fantasy football draft, which is centered around
a fantasy,
but also the NFL.
Okay. Right?
It's centered around.
Oh, I was like, it's pretend.
But just so you know, we do all know that.
Okay.
But our friendship is real.
I know.
So I would say that there is definitely like a male bonding element to the NFL. And the fact that people are finding it threatening to have something in that male bonding sphere that's not what they're used to, there's just a better way to vocalize it than the way people have been doing it. You know, and I think like men should admit these things openly and honestly and have a conversation about it.
I think our daughters are listening. Mm-hmm. Your sisters are listening. Your wives are listening. And what they may be hearing is that it's not a good thing to support someone you're in a relationship with, or it's fair game. If you're a strong, successful woman, it's fair game to cut somebody down. And I just think it's bananas what's happening.
So we are bringing a man out to talk about this because he is one of those men out there, and I'm trying to be one as well, but I think he's done it better than anyone, who is a voice of positivity for what's going on here and also not afraid to speak out against misogyny when he thinks he sees it.
And when he feels it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And he admits he feels it.
Yeah.
And why I think it's important to have men participating in these conversations. Women, we have been screaming these things from the rooftops. We need men on our side to be in conversation in rooms we are not in. And that's why we love our friend Carlos.
Carlos Whitaker is an author, speaker, and storyteller who's bringing hope to humans all over the world. He has 4 books right now, including his most recent, How to Human: 3 Ways to Share Life Beyond What Distracts, Divides, and Disconnects Us.
Welcome to the show, Carlos.
Yes.
And where okay. are you joining us from?
So I am in Alexandria, Minnesota.
Of course you
middle
are.
Of kind of nowhere, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Yes. Where lots of ice on lakes. But the reason I'm here is because I got an email from a teacher a couple months ago that told me that he was using my book, How to Human. Mm-hmm. Which you so graciously helped me launch. And he's using it as a textbook for a group of students as an elective. It's about 10 high school boys. And they're all going through my book, How to Human, Be Human, See Humans, Free Humans. And he said, would I please Zoom with the students? And I was like, no, I'm not going to Zoom with the students. I will fly there and totally free on me. You don't have to pay me. And I want to come in and talk to these students. Because he told me these students, that a lot of them come from broken families that just don't have good male role models in the family. And maybe a few of them, this is an all white community. There's not a lot of Black, Brown, Indigenous people of color in this community. And so there's maybe an underlying presence of racism that's here. And he's like, to watch these students get your book and go through it, the difference in who they are before and after. And so sure enough, I came in here and, you know, I had a lot of these boys come up to me. I mean, they're hugging me. They're, you know, almost in tears going like, thank you. Like before I read your book, I was this way. And since I finished reading your book, now, like, I feel like I'm friends with the black guy. Like I'm friends with you. I'm friends with somebody that's nothing like me. And it's made me be able to recognize some own biases in my life. And so it just was, man, that's I'm on awesome. Cloud nine, because to see that students, that high schoolers can get past their bias is like, okay, that gives me hope for America, right?
We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
All right, so good. This is perfect. The reason I wanted you to explain that before we got into this topic is because I need everyone who's listening to understand, like, what a good guy Carlos is.
This is the work he does on a daily.
And how positive he is in almost every walk of life and finds, like, a positive spin to everything. Like, he's just, he tells you to walk with people, right? He tells you to walk with people and not alienate them and try to understand things from their angle. However,
so you've talked, you've gained some popularity. You yourself have talked about this issue with Taylor, the attention on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's relationship.
Yes.
Okay. First, let's back up. Why do you think that it's important that we are having this conversation here today? Why does it matter that we have an opinion on this?
It matters. It matters because this has nothing to do with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, and everything to do with the toxicity that so many people, and the anger and the hate that so many people have in their hearts for other humans. And so, like, you know, you can take Travis and Taylor, it's going to be somebody else in 5 years. And if we don't get to the root and the rot of what's truly happening deep down within somebody's heart, I don't think we're ever going to be able to get to a place of healing. And so that's why I think it's important. And I think that the Taylor Travis thing was just a great way for this conversation to begin to happen. And for us to, you know, as you said at the intro, like, I am, like, I do try to look for the positive and everything, but that doesn't mean that I don't see the negative. And that doesn't mean that we don't speak to the negative. And I saw a lot of repulsive things being said this last week about Taylor Swift. And so my phrase is, don't stand on issues, walk with people, but that doesn't mean that you don't have an opinion on issues and that you don't stand up for what you believe in. But what it means is that you do walk alongside people that don't. And what I found is that's the hardest part of this whole thing. The hardest part is entering into dialogue with people that see the world completely differently than you do. And I've had a lot of hard conversations this week, but I think it's important. And I think that, you know, you giving space for this in a fun way on your platform, but what it does, and I read your comments too, but what it does is it it allows people to show the truth that is underneath their heart. And so stuff like this gives us quick access to the traumatized places in people's hearts. And what I like to do is just try to come around the backside and be like, okay, hey, look, there's pain here for a reason, but you're masking it with anger and toxicity. But what's really there?
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah. Anyway, here we are.
That was beautiful.
So while we're talking about how this whole thing started, I listened to your podcast and I've been obsessing over one thing that you said, because I want you to unpack it a little bit more. Okay. You're a Swift dad, just like me.
You got girls. Yeah. You brought them to a concert 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you are the quintessential Taylor Swift dad, but you admitted.
I am.
You admitted that when you first saw Taylor, you know, in her relationship with the NFL and her on the screens, that you felt a tinge of something. And yes. And I just, can you unpack that more for me? Because first of all, it takes a lot of character for someone to admit that, because you're so clearly a force for good for all of this. But I think it's important that we all like ask ourselves, is there something weird in there that we can't control?
Yes. Yes. And so, I mean, here's the thing. I said that I was actually talking to my daughter about it because she heard my podcast and she's like, you were not annoyed at Travis and Taylor. Like, you were never. And I was like, babe, like, I have to admit something. Like, I legitimately rolled my eyes the first time I saw her pounding on the screen, jumping up and down. And I let it just kind of, I let the annoyance come in and then pass.
You didn't say it out loud, probably.
I didn't say it out loud.
Yeah.
Never. But then when I started seeing more like toxicity around it, I was brought back to that moment where I had that fleeting annoyance. And I asked myself, what was it that bothered me? And so I did. I started unpacking that. I was like, okay. Because I remember the moment. It was like her. I was like, she's playing for the camera. She's doing what she does on stage. So that's where it started. So I started unpacking that. Well, why would I think she's playing for the camera? Like, what about her? Oh, I think she's using this as an opportunity. And I started to really unpack a little bit of, you know, the word misogyny, that triggers so many people. Nobody wants to ever, you know, apply that to themselves.
It's like calling someone racist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It's calling someone racist. But what I had to do for myself is say, was there any misogyny inside of me at that moment that was fleeting that I can kill, that I can crush? And if you can crush that stuff when it first starts to rise up, then you're not going to have to worry about ending up like some of these crazy toxic dudes that are saying the most repulsive things. You got to crush it when it's small. You know, I have an analogy called kill the spider as opposed to clean the cobwebs. What a lot of people do is they just clean the cobwebs, right? They just, let me just kind of fix my behaviors. They don't ever get to the root. And so I'm constantly a guy that's like, let's get to the root. So anyway, to answer your question a little clearer, yes, like there was a little bit of like annoyance in me that I had to dig down and realize, I think where it came from is, again, I'm Gen X. I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up with the portrayal of masculinity was almost that femininity was weak.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like it was like, they're weak. They need me. Like, I'm this. And so any display of a female being strong, I think, was bothersome to men in the 80s, in the 90s. And so, although I have tried to like destroy as much of that as possible, whenever it rears its head, I have to call it out. I have to say it out loud and I have to crush it. And I have to replace those lies with truth. And so that's what I did there. And yeah, so, you know, I think for someone like me to come forward and say, this is something that maybe is even a problem that I can face, will help everybody realize maybe we all have things that we can look at as well.
We all do. And even if we hate it about ourselves, we all do. And the second we can admit it, I think we can start to have better conversations.
Yes.
I think that it has been repulsive, some of the messages. I mean, I love, I'm going to buy the t-shirt. I walk with people. I'm going to buy the t-shirt, Carlos. But let me tell you, the block buttons I had to hit this week.
Yeah.
Because we did this really silly video about the numbers of Taylor Swift, and it got like, like 15 million views or something like that. And when that happens,
yeah,
it's it, you're getting the tinfoil hats are coming for you. So, but what I have also, so there's a little bit of that. But what I've also been so impressed with is people like you, people like Penn, other people, pundits on TV who have spent a lot of time and given space to defend Taylor and women and to call out the bad behavior. So but as a woman, it is so important for men to be in this conversation because I have lived what you were saying. I'm also a child of the 80s. I also have been on the other side of it. I know what these views are of women because I live it every single day. But until men start saying something and calling out their own BS, nothing is going to change. And so I just want to say thank you for what you're doing and how you're speaking out on that.
You're welcome.
Also, do you have any examples of comments that because you said you've had to have some conversations. Were there some that you, like, how do you handle that? It sounds like you actually reach out directly to people sometimes when that happens.
Yeah. So most of, unfortunately, this is the unfortunate part. Most of the negative DMs I got weren't from men. They were actually from women.
A lot of women.
Yes. That were lifting up this misogyny. And I don't, you know, it was so hard for me because, you know, when they come at me and they're like, well, Carlos, like, I mean, don't you think it just is like, it's too easy for Mr. Pfizer and Taylor Swift, who supports Biden, to just come to you, and they unpack their conspiracy theory like that. I'm going to be like, well, of course. And so I sit here and I'm like, but do you understand this? Like, here's the problem with conspiracy theories in general in this day and age. Like, we all have like the need for just control. And I said this in my podcast, like if Taylor Swift 3 weeks before the election were to buy a hamster from a hamster store, people would be like, that hamster store owner deposited money to this PAC account and the hamster was given an injection of this. And so it's all, and I'm like, everything is a conspiracy. So like what I had to do when I was getting some of these DMs from people is what I like to do is I may have told you this before when we talked, but I open up my camera and I just record myself talking back to these people because people are so brave with their thumbs. They are so brave in their comment sections when they're with their thumbs. But when I'm like, hey, listen, let me unpack what I heard you say. This is what you're saying. And I can understand why you would think that because maybe this has happened to you in your life. And this is the perspective. So thanks for clearing that up. But let me tell you what this looks like for me. Let me tell you why I disagree with you. And so I still disagree with them, but I'm sending them a video breath to breath, face to face. And 9 times out of 10, those people turn from enemies to allies. These people are like, okay, we're going to agree to disagree, but thank you so much for sending me a video. The fact that you would like look me face to face and have this conversation. And again, this is the whole stand on issues, don't stand on issues, but walk with people. I'm trying to walk with people, even if at the end of walking with them, we're like, nope, we're still agreeing to disagree completely on this issue. At least we held space to have a conversation with each other.
That was heavy. And I so admire you because there's a tinfoil hat lady that literally everything I finally had to block her. Everything we posted, I was posting an Instagram story about my dog and she's like, you just have a dog to make money. I'm like, woman,
oh gosh,
hey, that how much the vet bills and the, I'm like, okay, woman, stop. So, had to block her, but I probably should. This woman is hurt. We're heading into an election year and I am just bracing myself. So this I'm just bracing myself for all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Carlos,
what do we do? How do we walk with people again? You told us last time, but we need a reminder.
I need a reminder. So there's something about, I appreciate other people jumping in and standing up for people. I love that. But then there are certain times like that becomes a little harmful. So how do we protect our peace, but create space for people? Tell us how to human.
Okay. Remember, walking with people does not mean allowing them to dehumanize somebody. Okay. So like we have to start there. So like walking with people isn't like, oh, like look at that racist calling that person an N-word. And I'm just going to go like, you know, ho-hum and not call them out on their BS, right? Like walking with people does not mean that you're not standing up for other people. That's why, Kim, it's so valuable for you to see Penn, to see myself standing up and saying, no, you will not only for Taylor Swift, but for my daughters. My daughters will see me defending and standing up for women that are strong, that are confident, that are crushing it, right? And so not only is it just for Taylor, she's never going to see me do this, but it's for my daughters. It's for all the girls at the school that I just spoke at to go on my social media and go, wow, there's a man that I may not ever say anything because my dad is a misogynist and I see this stuff every day, but they at least see somebody like me, right? And so remember, walking with people doesn't mean letting other people dehumanize them. But also, I would say that the only time that you interact with people that you disagree with does not need to be in deep, heavy conversations about these issues. So like what I like to try to do is find friends of mine that I know we do not see eye to eye politically, especially in 2024, and be in relationship with them outside of these issues. So again, one of my closest friends that we see differently, not only politically, but a lot of other really hot topic issues, we have season tickets to our Major League Soccer team in Nashville, Nashville SC. We don't talk to each other. We rarely talk to each other on the phone anymore. We don't text really each other. We show up, we sit next to each other, we scream, we hug each other when we score, we jump up and down, and we're in a space where we're both rooting for the same thing. Because unfortunately, we've gotten to the point where we believe that there's nothing we have in common anymore with somebody that we disagree with politically. Yeah. But that's not true. We just have to, we have to go and we have to find, is it sourdough? Is it soccer? Is it fly fishing? What is it? And you can find it. And I'm telling you, don't ever let the conversation go political. But what it does is it softens your heart to where when it does come up, there's relationship built. That runway that you can land on is relationship. And you're landing on a solid runway, even though it's going to hurt, even though the brakes are going to, you know, squeal, the tires are, there's going to be smoke that's going to come out. The runway is going to be a lot softer that you land on in those conversations, as opposed to landing on a runway in the Masai Mara while you're dodging zebras and there's, you know, dirt and everything and wheels are going to fall off. You're just prepping your relationship for when these conversations happen. So that's what I'd say in 2024. Don't just find your people in your life and have hard conversations all the time. No, Try to not have any. But if you do, make sure that it's based on, you know, months of good conversations that around things that you agree with.
So, Carlos, I had an idea after listening to what you said, and I haven't said it out loud yet. And some, you know, sometimes you say an idea out loud and it's really stupid.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. Okay. I think I want to try this in 2024. And you may say this is impossible, but maybe that's why it's the genius of it. I think I am only going to entertain conversations with people, and I think I'm going to base all of my votes, I'm talking local, state, national, all of them, on strictly good things that I can find about the people who are going to be part of the election. It's so funny, wow. Particularly at the top, I think I've complained about everyone who's been president. In some way or another, just
of course, they're government employees.
And so every conversation that I've had with anybody about any election has always been about what the other person is doing wrong. And if I say, I'll talk to you about politics, but only if you tell me about stuff that your guy is doing right. And I'm only allowed to talk about stuff, and I want to hear about that. And if I want to argue, I want to talk about stuff that my guy's doing right. And I don't want to hear anything else. Is that a total disaster? Or would that work?
No, I like that. And again, I wouldn't be having these conversations every day because that wouldn't be good for my mental health.
No. I think it's going to be inevitable.
But when you do have these conversations, you know, and I think the other part, Penn, is going to be when you do end up finding things that, you know, because you're going to start off what's going right with your guy, what's going right with my guy. And you're going to say that, but then you're going to disagree with what's going right with their guy, because you're like, but actually,
no,
that's
not allowed. You're right. Not allowed.
This group of people,
not allowed to do that.
Because, well, here's the thing.
Okay,
though, but here's the thing. They're right. What's is so wrong for me.
That's fine.
That
I understand that, but I just like I think my rule is as soon as you say no,
like
that's not right for me. No, I'm like I can do that in my head. I want to hear what you think this person is doing right, and I honestly need to research what I think my guy is doing right. I don't think anyone's paying attention. They're just paying attention to what the other guy's doing wrong.
Yes, and what you're doing is you're unpacking a way to listen to understand. Don't listen to reply. And if you're listening to understand and not to reply, that means, Ben, you don't get to reply. You're literally just listening to learn and to understand.
And I think that's a skill that we all need to take into the rest of this year. And I have to say, it is something, all of this and this entire conversation about Taylor and Travis and every conversation that's on the news right now and that happens in our DMs, you once again have inspired me to have more patience. Maybe I don't hit I really don't block that often. I think I've blocked probably 5 people total in the last 10 years. So you gotta go real far to get blocked by
me. Yeah.
But like 3 happened this week. It was, it was Looney Tunes. Anyway,
which goes to show if it's Taylor Swift in January of 2024,
right?
That's going to make people lose their minds. Just get ready.
I know.
Because it is going to get, just wait till November, right? And so just like, we've got to start doing this now.
I agree. And I am guilty that there are relationships in my life that we have totally drifted apart because of things, just because of silly things like that. And that's pretty shame. And that's on me. And it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. You are a gem of a human. I love the work. I love that you flew up to talk to these kids. You've changed their lives. You changed their lives. That's amazing. You're an amazing human.
I mean, well, honestly, like I get just as much back. The professor, I mean, he's a 70-year-old retired teacher that just took this job so he could be around these students that need some help. And, you know, to see the 70-year-old Army veteran, he gave me, where is it?
Carlos is going through his pockets. I'm just narrating. It's an audio medium. Carlos is going through his pockets. He's showing us a coin.
He gave me a coin that says KFG. And with tears in his eyes, he's like, Carlos, this is what you've done for my kids. He's like, this is what Army people give this to each other. And I was like, what is this? He said, it's keep effing going. And what you did when you flew up here is you basically gave these kids your own coin where I see it in their eyes. They're going to keep effing going because you chose to come up here and see them and walk with them. And so it gives me just as much as it gives them. So, you know,
you're such a good human.
Keep effing going, people.
Keep effing going, guys. Where can people find you? I know people are going to want to hear and read more from you.
Yeah. Mostly I am on Instagram every day kind of talking, but I'm an author, so I've got books. My book, How to Human, which we were talking about, is my most recent book, which has the phrase, don't stand on issues, walk with people, which I just launched a shirt. So go to the Carlos Whitaker store, grab that shirt. I got another book coming out in September that is really like an experiment version of don't stand on issues, walk with people. I kind of underwent an experiment myself for 2 months last year. And it's a memoir. So yeah, find me in my books, find me on Instagram.
And
I'd love to hang out.
Yeah, Carlos Whitaker with 2 T's. And we're gonna put that in the show notes and all that stuff. He's a great Instagram follow. I will tell you that as well. Thank you for making time for us. I know you're very busy and we appreciate you. Thank you.
You guys are the best.
Love Carlos. Find him and his books and his podcast and all that stuff. You can check the show notes.
Yeah, I think Instagram follow, which you mentioned, is just Los Wit.
Yeah.
LOSWHIT. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good. I think, you know, we finally got to it. Is like, I'm just mentally preparing myself for a very wild, tumultuous year.
Yeah.
And I would prefer it to, like, I don't want it to be as combative as the previous elections have been. Because I don't enjoy just being so mad. And I feel as if perhaps we have a unique perspective because there was some anger directed at us and comments and stuff like this over this Taylor or Travis thing, which seemed so silly. So I'm just sort of, I don't enjoy that. And I know other people don't as well. So if we can just, you know, all talk to each other, that'd be great.
How do you feel about this? Like, maybe we both do this. We do an audit of, we need to be informed this year.
Obviously.
But the places where we get information sometimes is the places where we find a lot of toxicity, a lot of trolls, like a lot of things that could cause, you said it's combative and it's all these things, but we have control over how much of that we want to take in.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Stay tuned, you guys. I love you. Thank you for listening. I love you, podcast people.
We do.
Sending you a big old hug. And it's one of those things, like when you're talking on the phone when you're a teenager and like you don't want to hang up first.
Is that what's happening right now?
Like the people listening, I'm like, no, you hang up. No, I love you.
There's
you
no way up. Anyone's still listening after that long pause. I'll tell you what, let's try it again and see how many people stick around.
Still there?
No, you gotta wait longer. You hang up.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.